Heavenly Father, as we come this morning to hear your words, I pray we can have a heart and listen to your words. I pray that I can speak truthfully as we look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14, regarding our self-control. Amen. Self-control. As we just saw the video, having self-control is not easy. The marshmallow test is a test whether you will give in your instant gratification or whether you have self-control. Whether you are able to rise above your desires to eat that marshmallow or wait. Whether you are able to control your desires. Now, don't have to be a kid to have experienced the marshmallow test, because young or old, our self-control is always tested in life. As a parent, your kids means a lot to you, and you want the best for them in life. I know the feeling. I'm a father of two. But sometimes in life, everything that they want and do is not the best for them. As parents, do we give in to them or have the self-control to say no to them? Even when they're screaming and kicking, even when everyone's looking at you because the kids are crying, it takes self-control to do the right thing for them. Or you line up to get on the train and someone cuts in front of you, basically jumps the queue, and it makes you angry. You want to turn them off. When you rise above your desires, do not swear at them. That takes self-control. Or you're in a meeting and giving a presentation to your client with important information, but the client or worse, your work colleague, is playing with the phones. And it makes you angry. You want the best. You want to blast them, turn on them, to put the phone away, as this information is very important for the business. You rise above your desires. But to show your disappointment, that takes self-control. Young or old, our self-control is always tested in life. We all face it in our life in different ways. And you know what? We must realize that having self-control is also the first line of defense in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. It's the doors that either opens us to sin in our lives, or is the door that shuts our sins in our lives. Sins are impatience, envy, anxiety, anger, pride. And next week, you'll be hearing about laziness. All these things are on our doorstep, knocking at our door. And they often enter our lives with us knowing. So sin can easily creep in. Sin can slip in. Sin can easily sneak in. You can make it hard for sin depending on your door. Self-control acts like the front door of your house. At the front door of your house defends the house. It protects the house. It's our security from thief and salespersons that you don't want. And it's the same in your Christian life. In our Christian walk, we all need to guard the front door and make sure our walls are strong. This is what it means to have self-control in our Christian lives. Self-control keeps worldly desires away. Self-control is our defense against sin. Self-control protects us from ungodliness, which is not pleasing to God. to understand what it means to have self-control, let's just have a look at a person who doesn't have self-control. We can visualize a person who has lost it, a person who lacks restraint, and a person who is mentally weak or just losing control of their body. But let's have a look at some day-to-day examples of people who might not have self-control. It could be the way you spend your money. You see it, you like it, you buy it. Do you have the self-control not to buy the latest device or the latest clothing? Because I know when it's online, some of you guys might shop online, it's so easy to overspend. I see it, I like it, click, click, click. Do we have self-control in how we use money, which is God's money, which has given us? Are we wise and self-controlled in using His resources? Or you could be the person who plays video games or play games, or board games, and you know you got work tomorrow morning. Do you have self-control not to play too late instead of only having 4 hours of sleep? Because you need to remember, God has blessed you with work, and we must do it well. So it comes back to this. Are you a person who simply lives with the front door open in life, allowing anything and everything into your life? Not just letting the good things, like the fruit of the Spirit, but also the desires of the flesh, like envy, hot temper, sexual desires, materialism. And the same is true to our tongue. Just speaking without self-control. A tongue with no self-control is so dangerous. So what does it mean to have self-control? Have a look at the dictionary, and it says, an act of denying yourself. So the next question is, what are you denying yourself of? And I think it's denying your desires, your impulse, which are often sinful of the world. Our natural impulses are often sinful and worldly. It takes self-control and pause before acting. And let's have a look at a quote from Jerry Bridges, who's a Christian writer. And he says, self-control is the exercise of inner strength. Under the direction of self-sound judgment that enables us to do, think, and say the things that are pleasing to God. So for a person to have self-control, it needs to have a strong will. Knowing how to make a godly decision in whatever circumstances you are in life. But more importantly, let's have a look at the scriptures. Let's have a look at what God says about self-control. So why do we need self-control? It's in Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. It's because of God's grace that gives us salvation, in verse 11. And how do we get salvation? It tells us in verse 14. It is Christ who gives Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for Himself a people that are His very own. This is God's grace that we are saved by Christ, and that now we belong to Him and not ourselves. We are redeemed by Him as our heart is being transformed by the gospel. And then we're able to hear and see the light through God's terms. Seeing the light through God's lens and seeing the light about God's purpose. And with this, we're eager to do what is good and saying no to ungodliness, which is in verse 12. Because we have been saved, and as a result, we want to do good for God. As Christians, the grace of God gives us power to know what is good and what is bad. It teaches us whether to draw the boundary lines in our lives. It highlights of us what's ungodly, worldly passion and desires, and what is right and godly. It teaches us to live self-controlled lives, guiding us what we should do, think and say, which please God. So, where do we need self-control? Let's have a look at two areas where we need self-control. The first area that we need self-control is in our minds and our thoughts. And the second one that we need self-control is over our emotions. Our mind is a place where we have the best kept secrets. What we see, be, and think can be hidden to others. Even the way we act can be very different to what we really think of someone in our minds. We can really fake it and put on a show. In fact, we have no interest or care about that person who speaks to us. So one of the reasons why it's so important to have self-control in our thought life, in our minds, in our thinking, because the mind dictates a lot of our actions. Our thoughts, our thinking, is the first line of defense in our battle of self-control. It's usually said that what we think is what we do. So what we hear the most will influence how we form our views of life. What we fear our minds with the most is what we think the most. It's then what we act upon the most. So here's the danger. The things that we think about the most is what our heart treasures in life. It's what our heart treasures in life. What's the first thing we think about when we wake up? When we have our spare time before we sleep. So, the things we might be thinking about, which is not pleasing to God, we must get rid of. This means not consume ourselves with envy, greed, anger, selfish ambition. We must flee from them. We must shut the doors of our minds of these things. These are things we must not feed our minds with. But it doesn't stop there. And don't get me wrong, that's a good start to flee from those ungodly things. To close the door on them up here in our heads. To shut them. But sometimes, there are things that fill our minds that are also good. It becomes a problem. Maybe your thoughts and mind is constantly filled with work, or family, or friendship, or your children. When we look at these things, which I just mentioned, those things are not bad things. We should all work or study because it's the best thing from God. We should be thinking of our family and friends, and thinking of others. And of course, you're thinking of your children. They're all important, and God has given them to us. We should see all these things are a blessing from God. But the dangerous is that sometimes they can consume our minds. We can be obsessed with the good things. All those can also end up being idols in our hearts. It becomes the things that we worship and glorify. So, good things can sometimes turn us away from God. Self-control doesn't doesn't just mean closing the doors of our ungodly desires in our minds and thoughts. Self-control also means not turning God's blessing into ours. But more importantly, self-control also means opening doors to the right things, filling our minds and thoughts with godly things. So, what should we fill our thoughts with? What should we open the doors of our minds to? We need to put in our minds and thoughts things that are good and pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. In Titus chapter 2, and to live self-control, upright and godly lives in this present age. When Paul also writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8.
I'm not there.
But let me read it out. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. These are the things which Paul says should fill our minds with. We need to open the doors to these things in our own life. Basically, we need to read what is good for our minds and thoughts. We need to see what are good for our minds and thoughts. And we need to hear the things which are good for our minds and thoughts. We need to open the doors of our thought life to what builds us up, matures us, encourage and strengthen us in our walk with God. The second area we need to have self-control is our emotions, which is my next point. Let's have a look at why we need to have self-control over our emotions. I bet we all have a personal experience and have heard of people having no self-control of their emotions. And we've seen the damage that it's caused when people lose control over their emotions, to themselves and to others, to the company. When was the last time our emotions was a boiling point where our emotions got us into trouble? We feel angry and hot-tempered because we don't have self-control. As things are not going our way, we get more and more angry. When we feel angry because we're only thinking of ourselves. We want our way. We're selfish. When was the last time your pride has been damaged? It could be a comment about you, or you just lost a project at work. And your emotion level goes up. You might have acted or said something just to put others down. With hurtful words because we're emotional. It's because you want to look better than others. Again, we're selfish. We're thinking of ourselves. When was the last time you felt resentment and bitterness? Because you were jealous of someone or something. Because you feel that you should be the one who deserves it. And thinking, why should you lose out? You were jealous because you're not content and not happy in what God has given you. This is because you look at your own personal interests and are not happy for others. Too often, we're led by our emotions. And sometimes our emotions are ungodly and sinful. Can you see why having self-control over our emotions is very important? Because if we can't control our emotions, it will control us. Our emotions can be powerful, even if we don't say anything. Have you ever got the look or you might do it to your kids right now. Your sense that someone is looking at you. And you can't see him or her because your head is not facing that person. In that moment, you make eye contact, you know that person is not happy with you. I still remember, as a child, I really wanted this toy when we were at a shopping center with my family. But my family was in a rush. My parents told me, "No, Thomas, we're not getting it." I was not happy. I started to cry and scream about it, as all little kids would do. Then I got the look. Got the look from my mom. I knew I was dead. I knew I was dead when I got back home. Now, I don't have to tell you the rest of the story, but you can figure out what happened. I could tell you from the look of my mom's eyes, her emotions, the non-verbal clues told me all I need to know. Our emotions can be very powerful, and we need to have self-control over them, as they need to control us when we die. And often our emotions are unguarded, because we're selfish beings. We need to see how damaging uncontrolled emotions can be. It's not what God wants. We need to practice self-control of the mind and the emotions. To have self-control is to exercise self-control in our minds and our emotions. To allow what is pleasing and God-honoring. And blocking out what is pleasing, not pleasing, and God-honoring in our lives. To say yes to what we're meant to do. And also to say no to what we're not meant to do. It's having self-control to keep doing what God desires us to do, His purpose. And having self-control to stop doing what God does not desire, and God thinks. Which means we need to see that our thoughts and emotion comes from what we read, what we see, and what we hear. And what we read, see, and hear actually influence the desires of our heart. Desires are service and flows out into our thoughts and emotions, our actions, our speech. So what should we do? What we feel, what we hear, the heart affects the thoughts and emotions. What should we do? If the heart bubbles over into our thoughts and emotions. Let's have a look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Solomon writes, in Solomon's words, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." In verse 23, "You must guard your heart, like guarding the door of the walls of your house, which are our eyes and our ears. Block what is bad and receive what is good. Defend the heart. Protect the heart." So it really goes back to what we read, what we see, what we hear. So to have self-control is to guard in what we close the door, open the doors to. And what we choose to close the doors to. That's why it's so important to practice self-control. And it starts with the heart. If we are to gain self-control in what we think and what we feel, we must first guard our hearts. How are we to exercise self-control? What should we do? As I said, first of all, we need to guard our hearts. And in Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says, "Like a city walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. We need to see the city wall, the city gates, as our eyes and ears. As the walls and gates guard our city, we are to guard ourselves. Our eyes, our ears, are to guard the heart, our thinking, our emotions. In the 6th century, the Lydian kingdom was known for its defense. And it was located on top of the mountain, and there was a vertical drop on one side of the wall of the city. So for an army to invade it, it can only come from one side of the city, and therefore on that side of the walls are high. The walls are strong, and the front gate is heavily guarded if anyone wants to invade it. But there's a story. There's a story how one day, one of the city guards was meant to watch over on the mountain side of the wall, where there was a vertical drop. And he fell asleep, because there's no action, it's pretty boring, no one will attack there. And he accidentally dropped his helmet over the side of the cliff. So he climbed over the wall and made his way down to retrieve his helmet, because he didn't want to get in trouble. He knew how to descend down the cliff and how to return home. But here comes the catch. Here comes the catch. He never thought that across the river, an enemy spy had spotted him and observed his steps. The spy recorded the route going down and up the cliff edge. Because of this, the enemy of the city went through the back doors, entered the city in the middle of the night and from the back doors of the city. And at last, that city was invaded and destroyed by the Persian king Cyrus. The walls of that city was the first line of defense. It was the people's protection and security. And it did its jobs for many, many, many years. It was only because of a foolish guy that the city was captured. We must be cautious. On guard. Be awake. And on guard, working to be self-controlling in a Christian life. Guarding all the walls, our hearts, thoughts, and emotions. The first line of defense. We read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22-23. The eyes is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes aren't healthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It basically says, whatever we take in, whatever we observe, whatever we view goes into our minds and hearts. So for us to guide our hearts, and the first thing we need is the gospel. It's our heart that's been transformed by the gospel to help you guard your heart. This is important because of our sins. The sin can lie to us. He can deceive us. He can cheat us and also blind us. So one way is letting your brothers and sisters in Christ to enter into your personal life. To make sure your heart is kept in the light. Making sure you are dealing with self-control in a godly manner. Meaning speaking to them truthfully. Giving them permission to ask you those hard questions in life. What are idols that you are replacing God in your life? What are the idols which you exchange God for? The idols which are buried deep in your heart. Lack of self-control is not a small thing. But we allow into our lives affect our thoughts and emotions. And flows out into the words, our actions, and leaving. what we allow into our lives, what we read, what we see, what we hear matters. It affects the desires of our hearts. It shapes and changes our thoughts. It directs our emotions. I encourage you this morning to pursue self-control, because it's the key. It's the key that opens the doors. That opens the doors for us. The door that opens us. All our sins, envy, anger, laziness, impatience, or greed, or the door that will actually keep those things away. By what we read, what we see, and what we hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us guide our hearts, which is pleasing to you. So let's live a life where we have self-control in our daily walk, and to desire what you have given us, and what we read, hear, and see.